story so far, and we were up to. So we wanted to try to understand what is the role of Nesina. And the Torah tells us that you have to write to get and give it. So where does Nesina come in? What is it meant to accomplish? How does it work? And we had come up with our discussion three possibilities. There could be more. Maybe they'd be subdivided. But just trying to generate some possibilities, we came up with basically three. That the literal meaning, it sounds like there's some kind of kinyan taking place. That you have to give her the get. And especially if we say the divorce itself is a kinyan, which was something we talked about last semester, may or may not be the case, if it's a reversal of the kinyan of marriage, so maybe so too here, the get is being nicknames by the wife, right? You seem to be ex-wife. Another possibility we considered is that it's not really about that, and partially because of a number of challenges that we'll mention. So, if it's not really about being machne'it, maybe it just is about literal giving to her, to get, handing it to her. The nasna biyada, that language of putting it in her hand. And we have to see exactly what kind of implications that would have, and why that should be. And the last possibility was that really the giving of the get is really more just to kind of close off the story. That really, when we discussed last semester, that ksiva went from being a preparatory act to maybe being part of the divorce itself, maybe we'll shift it over even more and say that the ksiva of the get is really the divorce. It's just that until it's been handed to her, it's not final and it can be reversed. But actually giving it to her is what actually makes things real. So far so good. Those were the general possibilities. And then we started looking at certain challenges that exist within the concept of giving a get. And two major challenges. One is, and both these challenges were present just in any get. It's not just some obscure Gemara. It's the basic inherent issue of giving a get. That if we assume, as we do, that min haTorah, a get can be given bal korcha, that it is possible, whether or not it's mutter was a separate question, but it's possible for the husband to give his wife a get against her will. So how could there be a kinyan involved? We always require that somebody who is acquiring something is consciously choosing to do so. And if the get can be given without her free will, without her agreeing, so then how could there be a kinyan involved? You can't make someone else be kona something if they're not interested in being kona. So where does that fit in? As a major, major challenge to the whole concept. And then we saw the Gemara on Daf Ayin Zayin, where the Gemara tells us, following the Mishnah, that it's possible to give the get not directly into her hand, but into her zone, let's say her chatzer, or her otherwise her territory. And that also works. And here, the Gemara, the Bavli at least, tells us that this is basically an expansion of the concept of Nesina, that we'll see that Nesina in some cases limits things, in some cases expands things. So here, it expands things by telling us that since it's about giving, so therefore you can give it to her in other ways, not directly to her hand, which may be surprising because the pasuk uses the word hand, so you would think it means that specifically. And Rashi tells us that no, it's all about word order, that had the Torah said, so then that would have been an emphasis specifically, literally, on her hand. But since it's the other way around, so that is meant to convey that really it's about the Nesina. The hands is just a typical venue, but it could be something else also, so it could be her territory. And in that context, so the Gemara brings up another fundamental issue. It's not just about this scenario putting in her chatzer, but a fundamental issue in the giving of any get. That if the Torah is telling us the husband gives something to the wife, so how does that work, technically? How does it work on a halachic level? Since the husband acquires whatever the wife acquires, so it's going to bounce back to him and never really leave him. How does the husband give his wife a get, whether it's to her hand or to her territory? And here the Gemara introduces this fascinating concept of Gita v'yoda b'ayin ke'echad. That here you have some kind of a miracle of quantum physics, or quantum halacha, that even though she shouldn't have any independent ability to acquire something, that comes at the moment of her divorce. and the divorce is created by the get, so it means somehow it's simultaneous. That at the same time as she acquires her independence, she acquires the get that gives her that independence. It's a fascinating idea that we also have to try to understand. So that was major challenge number two. And then we turn to Daf Chaf, and we saw on Daf Chaf, first on the days before going to Maral, because we like doing things backwards. So first we saw that there is another fascinating case here, where the husband is so cheap, maybe this is what got in their marriage way in the first place, but he says, I'm giving you a get, but the paper is mine. So if he does that, that's no good. And then the Gemara has other variations where it is either good or somewhere in the middle. If he says, here's the get, but you have to give it back to me, so then, okay, that could work. But if he says, I'm not even giving you the paper, I'm just giving you the words, but the paper is mine, that's no good. And why? So that was apparently a difference in Rishonim. And Rashi there emphasized Nesina. Right? Rashi there said that he's not giving her anything. And the language was, recall here on the top of Chaf Midbeis, the cave in the Yar Shalom, lo nasun laklum, didimsu osius parchus ba'avit. So since the paper is his, he didn't give her anything. He just gave her floating letters, and that's not good enough. And because of Nesina, and the Rambam understood it differently, and the Rambam understood it as an issue in Krisus, that he's still maintaining a connection to her, and therefore that's the problem. And it sounds like the Rambam wouldn't have been bothered by the Nesina issue. So that's something to keep in mind. Does Nesina mean something different to Rashi and to the Rambam? Okay, I think that was basically what we're up to. Sounds good? Everybody on the same page? Okay, yes, sir.
So a question that came up during our learning over the past few days is if someone... So we said that... there are many instances in the Gemara where it talks about that she has to be fully aware while she's receiving the get. Mm-hmm. That, like, he can't just leave it in her bed or, like, put it in her hand while she's asleep. That she has to know. So why is he able to just leave it in her chatzer? What if she's not home, or what if she's in the house but doesn't notice it? Like, there's point.
So that connects to that. So we'll see the details of how that works. But that's theoretically assuming that she knows about him and it's coming to her territory, so then that could work. We're not necessarily saying it could work in every case, but the point is it doesn't have to come physically to her hands. That's the main chiddush. So here, before we'll come back to those details, but here, so the Gemara introduces, really, the Gemara is a little bit hard to read, and it introduces a whole other element here. So if you saw this Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so the Gemara tells us about the statement of Rav Chisda, right, about a third of the way down. It says, Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Yechilna l'mifsalinu l'kulegitta d'alma. So he's showing off for some reason that here I could tell you how I could disqualify all the gittin in the world. Now it's very mysterious why this is relevant, like why he's assuming that this fact is actually the case, but starts off with that dramatic statement, we could disqualify all the gittin. So why is that? So Amalei Rava, my timer, what's the reason? So you may have thought, Ilema Mishum Dichsev Vikasa, Vehacha Iha Kakasvale. So if you're going to say that the issue is that he's supposed to write it, and here she's writing it. So why is she writing it? This is one of the many kind of assumed contexts here, that apparently it's usually the case that the wife pays the sofer. So the writing is happening through her employment. Right? Rashi writes, Ihi kasvala no senes chaha sofer, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra, because of a takana that they made. So if that's the case, maybe that's the issue. So it's supposed to be him writing and she's writing it? No, not necessarily. V'dilmak ni'aknu l'rabanan. Ela mishum dechseh v'nasan. That the potential issue here is v'nasan. So here he's not giving her anything. So why is he not giving her anything? He's giving her the get. So the assumption seems to be that there is no requirement that the get actually be worth anything. And this standard of Anasan, Rashi says, Bar Nesina Shehei Shavapruta. That you would think that maybe because of Nesina, it has to be worth a shavapruta. Yes, sir?
Instead of I gave her, like, like gave it to her on like some very nice paper, like then it would be worth the jump roots on there for. It should be worth them.
They would be or wouldn't be worth
them. Like request like it's saying that you can just classify any get. Like why don't we just give a get that's like worth a lot of money?
Yeah, there's a lot of unspoken assumptions here. Why is he assuming specifically it's happening this way? But apparently, given that the get doesn't have to be worth anything, so that would be a basis, theoretically, to disqualify them. Then the Gemara is going to come back from this, though, so hold on a second.
Is he referring to like resale value because like no one else can use it?
No, because even let's say it just happens to be worth nothing. But you see, there's a little more to it. So if you're going to say, so because it says the Nasan, we'll help you up when we did, so no, that's not necessarily going to be the problem either. Because Dilma Nasina's Gati, maybe what we mean is just that the get should be given. Teda the shalach l'mitam, and you can prove that point that they sent a message from there. Kosful yisuri hana kasher. So if the get was written on a substance that is asur b'hana, so then it's still valid. Now you may recall this gemara because you mentioned it actually on day one, back in Elul, that the point was discussed about whether get is a mitzvah or not. And this was brought up in that context, because maybe this is why. Because maybe the question could have been asked, if it's asur b'hana, what allows one to use the get, use this substance for their personal purposes of writing a get, shouldn't that itself be a violation of the isur hana? So some brought this as a raya to the question of whether get is a mitzvah or not. And since we have a principle, mitzvah slav lehenis nitnu, that a mitzvah act does not constitute a violation of an isur hana, so therefore, it's not a problem to use it for the purpose of a get. So does that mean that it's a mitzvah in the active sense? Does that mean that it's a mitzvah just in the categorical sense? That's something we spoke about back then. But here it's relevant because of a whole different issue. So setting aside the mitzvah question. But this is surprising on its face. So what's surprising about this? Let's assume that it's not an isser to use the isser hana for a get. Let's assume that question is not bothering us. But it's surprising for another reason, the whole context of what's being presented here. So why is this surprising? So there are a number of issues that present themselves here. That it sounds like the get doesn't have to be worth anything. That was how the whole point was brought in. And when it comes to Isuri Hana in general, this is a major discussion in Achronim, but many assume that Isuri Hana, by their very nature, are worthless. Now that gets into interesting economical questions about what makes something worth anything. So here, if you have an item which is not able to be used for any purpose, so maybe that means it doesn't have any shavius, doesn't have any actual value to it. So if that's the case, and that's really how it got brought out in the first place, so it sounds like that may indeed be the working assumption here, even though this is a whole issue in Achronim. So how does that work? First of all, is there an assumption that the get has to belong to the husband? What do you think? Is there such an assumption? Yeah?
I would think so.
Okay, why would you think so?
So I think if you're giving something, it would have to be yours.
Okay, so that's, again, swirling around this question of what does the word mean? That if the Torah says that the husband is giving something to the wife, so does that mean that it should be something of his? So that's one premise to start that question, that if the assumption is he's giving something, maybe he's giving something of his. How do you want to address that?
I was going to get another point, is that she's Konrad's Asmov, and that means that someone has to be giving her something, and that something probably comes from the husband.
See, that's an interesting question. Does that follow, right? That if the assumption is that she's acquiring her liberation, does that mean that he's giving her an object? So that's actually questionable for two reasons, but I'll mention in a minute. But just as possibly a support to the idea that the husband should own the get. So there's a line here, I didn't put it on the Marmakomos because it was a little hard to find, without giving you exact page numbers, basically in the back of the Gemara, there is, right after the Rosh, at the end of the Rosh, it says, Seder Ksiva Sageth. So if you look, the Gemara is right after where the Rosh finishes. So then there's a short section here about what happens with the presentation of the Gad and the creation of the Gad. So there's a line here in the middle. In my printing, it is two columns long, and it's the middle of the first column. But let's read to what it says. It says, HaSofer, so here, the one who's actually writing it, HaSofer Yitain HaKlaf HaDio B'matana Raval. So the husband receives from the sofer as a gift the cloth, the parchment, and also the ink. Why? Says the Rosh, Deboinan v'kosav v'nasan shehe haget shelo. So apparently there is some kind of a premise that the get should be the property of the husband. So in order to make that work, the sofer ensures that the husband actually has some ownership of the materials, and he gives them as a gift. He gives them the cloth and the ink. David?
Why wouldn't he give them as a gift? He's just paying him to do it.
So he's being paid to write the get. He's not necessarily being paid to sell the materials.
Pay him to write and give you...
You could, but that's of less consequence. What's more interesting to us here is that's an issue at all. At the assumption that the husband seems to need to have it. Okay,
another question. Is there... I know that this is a different sugya, but can one pay for shluchei mitzvah?
So, in general, yes, but that's going to get us a little bit far afield. So, there are issues, but it's workaroundable. Yeah?
Sorry, and maybe you said this and I missed it, but it seems to be even further than just he needs to own the... Like, you need... I when I first said, like, when we were talking about it before, I assumed, like, he needed to own the get, mm-hmm. like, meaning when giving the get, the final product. But from the Rosh, it seems to not even be that. He needs to even own the ingredients preceding the...
More than that.
Yeah, meaning he could have just said, the sofer writes the get, and then gives the whole get. Like, the Chiddush seems to be that he needs the materials to create the get.
But he needs physical ownership of the get.
But why give the...
Why give it at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it makes a difference, but it's...
I'm saying, I think though the Matana point, not specifically Matana versus buying, but like you would assume, one, what the sofer is being paid for is his writing of the get, and presumably the guy is buying the get. So this seems to be saying more than that.
Maybe. Okay, we'll keep that in mind and see if that makes a difference. You did your question?
Well, I mean, I guess, why does Doc say, like, you need to buy the ink? And paper, like you said, you buy the get.
Okay, so we'll keep that in mind to see if that matters. But what's also a little bit mysterious, maybe almost intentionally mysterious, is that, not really, but it leaves the room open for us to wonder. So is the Rosh saying, so the Rosh is telling us two things, right? That there's some inyan to own the get, that the husband should own the get. But what the source is a little bit blurring. Because why? Because the Torah says, because of the nasan. So is it the ksiva that requires us to have some ownership, or is it the Nesina? So if it's the Nesina, we understand the husband should be giving her something. So if he doesn't own it, how can he give it? So that's one issue. If it's Ksiva, so then maybe there's what to talk about, that the implication, that's how some read this, Rosh, the Beis Yosef, and others, that maybe the implication is that when somebody writes something, so presumably he's writing with his own property. He's not going to be stealing in order to write. So the premise is that it's his. But it's a little bit of a lower standard, because this issue of value, that if we're focusing on he has to give something, so then presumably the item has to have value. If it's about the kusav, there's maybe a little bit more wiggle room, that okay, he shouldn't take somebody else's materials, he's going to write with what's his. But it doesn't necessarily put such a emphasis on value. But this idea that there is some need for the husband to own it seems to be intuitive and seems to be coming from the words of the Rosh as well. So that presents a problem. How could it be that it could be valueless? Now, just also to respond to what I said before about what Eric said, so one point is also, Rav Asher Weiss emphasizes this point, that especially it becomes a question that the husband should have to own the get if we assume that the wife does not acquire any of the get. If we assume that she doesn't have to make a kinyan on it. So then that narrows our interpretations, because v'nasan has got to mean something. And if it doesn't mean that she's getting it, so then it's got to mean he's giving it. And if he doesn't own it, so then how is he giving it? So davka, because there's a question about her kinyan, a little bit the opposite of what you're saying, davka, because her kinyan status is not clear here, it makes it more surprising if he doesn't have to own it. So probably he does have to own it. And how could it be valueless? Now, you probably had a chance to see the sources I added today. The Tosfos on our daf here on Chaf Mud Aleph, and the Ramban over there, and Tosfos in Menachos, and Tosfos in Psachim, which all take up the issue, and a little bit add to the mystery also, of the fact that Venasan seems to have different meanings in the Torah, which probably is surprising. Very often we assume consistent meanings, and that's why we even sometimes derive halachas from one context to the next, because we assume consistent meanings. But here, the Rishonim point out that there are different meanings. So, for example, in the context of Truma, as the Ramban notes, where there's a notion of Nisina there as well, so apparently there it does have to have value, it has to be a Shavah Prutah. So here, yeah, it's different. So that leaves you a little bit scratching your head. Well, why is it different? So apparently, the room for it to be different is because if there are other things it could mean in the context, so then it can mean something else. So if there's something about this whole process that allows the Nesina to mean something other than give an item of value, so then, even though in other places it might mean that, it doesn't have to mean that here. So we're kind of circling around some kind of meaning, but Nesina means something else, and therefore the get does not have to have actual value. But how can you be transferring it? How can you be owning it? If a husband has to own it, how could he own something that's valueless? And together with that, another major issue, the Achronim would talk about whether there is ownership of something that is an Isser Hana. So a related issue is that maybe even if we can grant some kind of ownership, but how do you transfer ownership? Can you make a transaction with something that has no value? So it's two halves of the same question, that presumably it has to be worth something for the husband to own it in the first place. But even if we could handle that, even if we could say he could own it without it being worth anything, but how does he give it to her? How do you transact with something that is worthless? So that remains a major question. The Ksav Sofer, in his Chiddushim Tegitin, so he suggests that maybe it doesn't mean necessarily that it has to be the husband's in the ownership sense and the property sense, but it shouldn't be anyone else's. So it's as much his or more his than it's anyone else's. Now, if it's not technically ownable because it's worthless, that we can handle as long as it's not coming from somebody else. So that's an interesting question to think whether that's a viable interpretation. Does that strike you as a reasonable take on what the word could mean? The husband must give something. What does it mean? Well, it doesn't have to be his, but it shouldn't be anyone else's. Yeah.
But if once he picks it up, doesn't it become his?
Not necessarily. I guess if it's not ownable, then it's not his. That's part of the question. The question is,
so it gets essentially not ownable?
Not necessarily, but if it's worthless. Let's say if it is on an Isser Hana, so an Isser Hana might not be ownable. This, by the way, is a major issue in Chametz. So the Gemara has that line. Those who were here for Pesachim already a few years ago, but the Gemara has that line in the beginning of Masechet Pesachim on Daf Vav, that Chametz is unusual. It's one of two things. She'enam b'reshuso shel adam v'asam hakasuf yilhim b'reshuso. That there's an inherent contradiction that's similar perhaps to this whole contradiction we're seeing here, that you're supposed to give something that can't be given. And when it comes to Pesach, we have somewhat of a similar issue, because there's an Isser to own chametz, but it's not clear that the concept of ownership makes sense when it comes to chametz, because chametz is Asur Bahana once Pesach starts, a little before Pesach, so chametz becomes worthless. So if it's worthless, so how does it ever be subject to a violation? How can you have an Isser of owning chametz on Pesach when chametz is worthless and you can't own something which is worthless? So a lot of that discussion about Isuri Hana and ownership and value circles around that issue also. But it may be that the Gemara in Pesachim is addressing that, because the Gemara says that really the ownership of chametz on Pesach is artificial, that you don't actually own chametz in the literal sense. But the prohibition of Bayura Bayimatse, which notably actually doesn't literally mean own anyway, so it's maybe not as much of a contradiction as it sounds like. But one way or another, the Gemara says, Asan Hakosiv Kiluhim Bershusa, that we create kind of a false ownership, an artificial ownership, that you can't actually own chametz on Pesach, and yet there's an Isser to own chametz on Pesach. That's a reflection of this quasi-ownership that the Torah creates. And there's a chiddush of the Ran that the reason bittul works for Pesach, because bittul shouldn't actually have any meaning, just to say you declare your lack of interest in something, doesn't actually do anything normally. So the Ran says it's because of this. It's because the ownership of chametz is compromised to begin with. It's an artificial ownership that the Torah is putting in your rishus in an unusual kind of way. So therefore, it's easier to disassociate yourself from it. It's not really a process of hefker; it's a process of bittul, specifically because of that quasi-ownership. So that all goes to this issue that something that is worthless, it's not clear that there's any kind of concept of ownership. And if there's no ownership, so what does v'nasan mean? And now we have a number of challenges to v'nasan. It doesn't sound like it can mean a kinyan on the part of the woman, because she doesn't actually have to be willingly take it. So if it happened by karcha, then can't be a kinyan. It's not clear how she has any independent stature to acquire anything. So that's a problem. And apparently it doesn't have to be worth anything. If it doesn't have to be worth anything, so how can he own it? So then it doesn't even allow us to interpret v'nasan as it comes from his property. So what is going on? So the couple, I think it was Sam, Eric, David.
I can understand, I think, why v'nasan could like not talk to ownership at all.
Okay.
In like maybe, like, you need to giving the like, the, even though the object is owner, like, is like unable to be owned because it has no value. It still is something, because like by definition, a get is a thing, and so. If you're able, like, the fact that it is a get makes it a thing, it might not be a monetarily valuable thing, but it's a halachic concept.
Okay, so there is such a notion, right? We find that there are things in halacha which don't necessarily meet a threshold normally, but because they accomplish their purpose, or because they have a certain chashivas to them, so then they jump over the limit. They can ignore the threshold. So, for example, you have a concept of a beria in halacha, that if you eat something that you're not allowed to eat, so if it's less than a kazayis, you're normally pater, you're normally not punishable. But if it's an entire entity, so it has its own status to it, that's why bugs are an issue, because even if they're so small, but if they're a whole bug, it's a beria, so then that creates its own chashivas. So maybe that's true. So maybe if the fact that the Torah is giving this status and giving this power, so maybe it doesn't have to follow the rules of other things. It doesn't have to have monetary value. Maybe other things need to have monetary value, because normally if you have a paperclip, that's less than a shavuot pruta, so it's beneath everyone's care. It's beneath everyone's awareness. But if it was a magic paperclip that could transport you to different time zones, so then all of a sudden it wouldn't matter how, well, I guess the value would go up too. But the point is that it takes on its own status when it's purposeful, even if it doesn't otherwise meet the standard. So there is something to that, and we'll see how much that factors in. So that's my guess.
No, just I don't understand why. I don't understand that why the Kassav Sofer would, how he could say that it's. I understand either saying it's either that it needs to be owned by the husband, or it doesn't need to be owned at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Where is he getting that it can't be owned by other people?
So that's the problem, you see, and that's why it may not be a viable interpretation. So I was trying to ask you before that,
like,
you might not think it's a good shot. And
how is it viable? Like
so he's trying to. Well, he's forced into a corner essentially, because Vinasa's got to mean something. And we're running out of possibilities. So if it doesn't mean that she has to take it, because she doesn't have to, and if it doesn't mean that he has to own it, because apparently it could be valueless, so then what's left? So it's kind of forced into a corner. But the question is that a credible interpretation? Now, maybe it is, because maybe the assumption is that there's some need to identify who's at play here. And if it comes from someone else, so then maybe that is murky. But it's just not the most likely interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk seems to be focusing on something much more essential, so it's difficult to see that as a viable shot. So, Zarek and David?
Okay, so my question, so I feel like there's a fundamental difference between Isra and Na when it comes to chametz and when it comes to get.
Okay.
The issue obviously, because with chametz, like, yeah, maybe luckily I can't own it, but like, I can still go to ShopRite, buy a bagel, you know, call the police if someone steals it. Might be enough, but might be a waste of their time. But I can still say he stole it. So there's still an idea of ownership beyond the halakhic sense. Like, I can still do stuff with it, and you know.
So that's an interesting question. It's an important point also, because that does come up somewhere. That when we say that something should be valueless because, let's say, it's an Isser Hana, so does that mean because the halakha rules the world? Or does that mean just practically you can't get anything for an open market? But what if you could? What if, despite the fact that you're not allowed to sell it, what if you were willing to sell it?
Yeah, so, but if when it comes to a get, which only really works within a halakhic sense, maybe if you could say the value is only within the halakhic sense, only I could use my get, you know, maybe the papers, but it's a used paper or whatever, could be very valuable, so maybe that plays in, but just in the halakhic sense, there's, if you're saying it's or not, from a halakhic perspective, it's valueless.
Right, so it's a question that is relevant. That does come up sometimes. So are we only saying that it's valueless? There's really three possibilities, right? We're saying that it's valueless just because you can't translate it into money because you're held back from doing so, right? So that's a merger of the halachic and the practical, right? The halacha stops you from selling it, so practically you can't monetize this. So is that why we say it's valueless? Do we say it's valueless purely halachically? Because if we don't give it any weight, so then it's valueless no matter what you can do with it. It's the second possibility. Or do we say, no, it's all about practicality. So just you're not going to get anything for your chametz when you try to sell it to Jews. So that's why. But there are theoretically other things you could do. But in this case, the Gemara is saying it might be that the get is literally worthless. And if it's literally worthless, it doesn't have to be, but it could be literally worthless. So there's no way, no matter whether you're religious or not, to turn this into money. So then it's interesting and noteworthy that could be a viable get. David?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. This Isra Na happens when it becomes a get, right?
Not necessarily. No, it could be Isra Na before. This is some item. What this is an object of a avodah zarah or something like that.
Oh, okay, so it's not, we're not making it Isra Na because of the...
No, it started off as an Isra Na. There's some item that was also b'hana. And yet, even though you're not allowed to use it, you can write a get on it. So that brings two questions. Why isn't that usher to use? So that, yeah, Corona said maybe that's a proof that get is called a mitzvah and mitzvah is lav lehenis nitnu. But even if we could handle the fact that you shouldn't otherwise be allowed to do it, well, why does it work as a get? It's valueless. So that's one of the major challenges. So to address a lot of these, there is a major statement of the Ktzos HaChoshen. This is a very often quoted comment, and as we'll see today, maybe a little bit tomorrow also, it's a very hotly debated statement. But the Ktzos in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Reish, in Sif Hei, the Ktzos makes the following assertion. And he's really talking about this whole concept Gita Vyada Bain Kachar. That's really the context over there. That the notion that somebody can acquire property through, let's say, Gita Vachatzera Bain Kachar, that the idea that somebody can acquire property through their real estate, and what if they're acquiring the real estate at the same time? So let's say in general, so you have a house with an item in it. So can you buy the house? And through buying the house, you automatically acquire what's in it, midin chatzer. Now, this isn't that the real estate agent or the owner is saying, listen, buy the house and I'll throw in the furniture. That's not what we're talking about. Well, there, you're basically buying the furniture knowingly. Or what we call kinyan agav, which is one of the things we use for mechiras chametz, that when you're looking to purchase both real estate and movable items, so you can make the kinyan on the real estate and allow that to bring along the movable items. But here, we're talking about a different mechanism. The idea that your property itself acquires what's in it. So normally, is that how it works? You could buy something and through a kinyan chatzer, that same act of purchasing the chatzer will also purchase the items. So says the Ksos, no, that's not normally how it works. I got a beferish gemara. Doesn't it say, getting da fein zayin in the base, gita v'yada bayin ke'achat, gita v'chatzera bayin ke'achat? Doesn't it say explicitly it can work? We have quantum halacha. These things can happen simultaneously, even though one is dependent on the other. Isn't that apparently a possibility? It says the Ksos, no. Gittin is different. Gittin has its own story to it. That when it comes to a get, you don't actually have to transfer halachic ownership to the wife. It is not a kinyan. If you were trying to make a normal kinyan chatzer, that would be more complicated. The quantum halacha would not necessarily work for you. But it's specifically because of the quirk of a get that allows this mechanism to happen. Because a get does not require a kinyan. That's not what the Torah means. When it says vinasan, that simply means that you must physically hand her the get. But it is not about making a kinyan. And says the Ksos, how do I know this? Because look at our other issue. Yisuri Hana. How do you transact with Yisuri Hana? Now, the Ksos's position happens to be that ownership for Yisuri Hana is a possibility. As we said before, this is a major debate in the Achronim. The whole question of is it conceptually possible? There are different views. There was a sefer called Sefer Marcheshes, which Marcheshes is a deep pan. So the author of Chinuch Egish, his name sounds a little like Marcheshes, a part of it, but he says he titled the sefer that because it's about deep things. He was the Rav of Vilna after Rav Chaim Ozer. And the first essay, if you want to read the Marcheshes from cover to cover, so we'll have a lot of deep reading, but the first essay he has there is about this topic of do we Yisuri Hana have value? So this was a big debate among the Achronim. You'll find a lot of discussions about it. And the Ksos's position here and elsewhere is that, yes, they do have value. But you still can't transact with them. So you can't make a kinyan. That requires something to hold on to. If somebody had something in his possession and it turned into an Yisur Hanah, so okay, he still owns it. There's still a concept of ownership. But to transfer it to somebody else, what we would call zechia, to acquire Yisuri Hana, that, says the Ksos, is impossible. So if that's the case, if you can't acquire Yisuri Hana, so then how's the wife supposed to get a get? So says the Ksos, because there's no requirement of zechia. There's no din that she actually has to make a kinyan on it. It's only about giving it to her. So if that's the case, says the Ksos, everything will explain itself. That there isn't actually a need for a kinyan. So it doesn't have to have monetary value. And it also doesn't use kinyan chatzer in the traditional sense. So normally for a chatzer to acquire something on behalf of its owner, it has to already be his chatzer. But here, since it's not about her ability to halachically acquire the get, so we can handle the quantum contradiction of everything happening simultaneously. Two things that seem to depend on each other somehow have to happen at the same time, which seems to be a logical possibility, impossibility, because you need one thing to be in place before the other thing. And yet here, it's not true, because you don't need her chatzer to be literally hers, or halachically hers, to acquire it. And she doesn't need to have a halachic acquirability, a yad of her own, in order to get it, because it's not about kinyanim. It's about it being given to her. Did you?
So Zachi is basically just like a simpler kinyan? It's like a kinyan,
no,
but without the formalities?
Would be a kinyan. No, Zachiyah would be a kinyan, but he's saying you don't need Zachiyah.
Oh, you don't need Zachiyah.
You don't need Zachiyah. You can't
so
do Zachiyah when you're Surah Hanah. But Zachiyah is a word for acquiring something, right? So you acquire your Zocha something through a kinyan.
Right. So you give it over to her, but without like a formal Zachiyah
kinyan. Right, he doesn't need a Zachiyah. She doesn't need to acquire it property-wise. She needs to be given it to her, which again, we've seen because we had these fundamental issues that if she's not willing to accept it, if it's happening bal korcha, so then how do you have a kinyan then anyway? So theoretically, if this principle is correct, it answers all the questions. We'll have to see, and we'll dip into this tomorrow also, we have to see if it's going to hold up against all challenges, and if it works for all sources. But theoretically, on the surface, it should be a decent approach to connect everything. How you doing?
So when we darshan out the extension of yada to like chatzer and all that thing, that has nothing to do with kinyan according to the chuzah.
Correct. Right. It's not based on kinyan. It's based on expansion of. So yada apparently is it's a little bit different from the Bava Yashami how to read it, but that phrase avinasan biyada means not literally her hand, but that which is her own. So yeah, it's not coming from hachas kinyanim. It's coming from the fact that this is still defined as her rishus, as an area which is protected and designated to her, similar to her physical hand, and therefore it works, but not because of Hilchus Kinyan. Now we'll have to see if this holds up against all challenges, but is theoretically a decent approach to answer up the issues. All right.
So is there questions like, so then why aren't the puzzles going to be used the word Vinasan? Maybe like, and just putting it in her hand, Vesim Biyada, or something like that. You know, just put it in her hands.
What word? Vesim Biyada?
Vesim Biyada, you can just put it in her hands.
How do we know that's better, though? Maybe an Asana means that.
Meaning, but then, I mean, Sam is one less letter.
Okay, that's, but it is, maybe this is clear.
We're gonna
also has all kinds of other. We've seen already a number of drushas that are coming from this.
Most of them have to do with the actual. A lot of value and stuff like that. Like why Nusson versus like Sagas?
I don't know if we have any reason to think otherwise yet. I mean, especially for the whole collective impact of the messages, we don't necessarily have a reason to think that some would work better. It could be that maybe this does cover it, but there could be some other challenges.
Nusson probably works better if someone chose Nusson for a reason, but
okay. Well, we'll see. So far, it's teaching us a number of lessons, yeah. So it's probably effective for all that. But just to try to get one more idea in, and then we'll also see tomorrow just to what extent the notion here is going to branch out into other things. A couple things we're going to have to figure out just to give a little bit of a roadmap. So we'll have to see, is it true that there's no need for a kinyan with a get? Is it true that the get does not become her property? Is that necessarily the case? These are potential challenges to the ketosis position. Are there sources that indicate that maybe she does halachically acquire the get as property? Are there indications that maybe kinyanim are relevant? And practically speaking, and this we'll see also over the next few days, just halacha lemaisa. So we have a whole host of kinyanim in halacha in general. When you want to transfer property, there are many different ways to do that. Do they all work for a get? So if you were to use one of the non-obvious kinyanim, one of the non-literal, more symbolic kinyanim, to transfer a get from husband to wife, does that work? In other words, is this a kule anachumra? Or is this going in one direction? what the, we've seen so far is basically we just presented it as a kula, right? That there are things here that don't work in kinyanim, but it doesn't matter because the get doesn't need a kinyan. But is that also a chumrah? Let's say I do a good kinyan. Should we say, no, get's not about kinyan at all? So if you have a kinyan that is not a literal act of giving, then maybe it shouldn't work, even though it would work by other things. So here, like you asked, when it comes to chatzer, so the Gemara is coming at that from a different place and saying that chatzer is her zone, is her reshus. But don't confuse that with kinyan chatzer or other things that are working just because they're kinyan. Maybe a kinyan that might be effective for property may davka not work for a get. And we'll see, this was a major discussion in Achronim about other types of kinyanim. Are they going to be effective for the giving of a get? And this is actually going to have pretty significant practical ramifications. So just to mention one more idea about how to interpret this. So there was a slightly different approach in Rav Shimon Shkup, who we again claim ownership of because of the year that he taught in Yeshiva University. So same Rav Shimon, that's in the farm cell, gets put in the YU section. Okay. So Rav Shimon Shkup in his Shiurim on Gittin, so he understood differently. And he understood that this is a function of the whole notion of a shtar kinyan. Now, you may recall that going back again to day one, or maybe day two, talking about what a get is. Right, so just a quick recap. So a get seems to be a shtar, and a get seems also to be a word that means other documents, not only a bill of divorce. And we tried to figure out to what extent is a get like a shtar or not. If you recall the Rambam's position that shtaros are drabanan, and the Ramban objecting, what are you talking about? Get is pretty clearly in the Torah. And the answer to that being that, yes, a get is in the Torah, but it's not a shtar in the sense of other shtaros. And we could draw a line between a get and all other types of shtaros, or we could draw the line a little differently, that as a raya, often a shtar is there as a proof. So those are the Rabbanan. And that was actually the Rambam's specific context, that Eidus, that the Gemara says, Eidus cannot be, Eidus has to be verbal, cannot be written down. So the question is, how does a shtar exist? Shtar seems to be written Eidus. The Rambam says, you're right, it doesn't work on a level of Minatorah, it's only an institution of the Rabbanan. So maybe specifically, those that are meant as proof. If you have a shtar, that's a proof, so that's a whole different concept. But a shtar that's there as a act, a shtar kinyan, a shtar that is there as a method of actually affecting something, may be a different category. And therefore, maybe we could group get with other shtaros. Now, let's say if you buy a house with a shtar, one of the methods of kinyan. So a shtar is a kinyan, maybe that does share a category with a get. So in that sense, Rav Shimon explained that the kinyan of a shtar is different than other types of kinyan. That if I'm going to be makna you an item, right, so the item has to be worth something in order for there to be a kinyan. If I'm using a shtar to be makne you something, so then the shtar itself is the instrument of the kinyan. And when I give you the item, the shtar comes with it. But the shtar doesn't necessarily have to have its own independent value. The shtar is the instrument of transferring the item that it's talking about. So that's going to have to be worth the shava kruta. But the shtar itself, as a tool of that, that comes along with the transaction. But that's not the object of the transaction, and it doesn't have to have that standard. So similarly, it could be that's the case with the get as well. That the get is the vehicle for the divorce, similar to a shtar kinyan. But it's not the focus itself. So when the woman receives a get, so yes, she actually does get halachic ownership of the get. But it doesn't have to be worth a shava pruta or worth anything, because the kinyan is not on the get. The get is the vehicle to make something else happen. So that makes the divorce happen. And as a function of divorce, yes, she acquires the get, and yes, it is her property. So he's saying differently than the Ksos, right, that this is a function of how a shtar kinyan works in general. That it does transfer itself along with the transaction, but it's not going to have to be worth anything because it's not the subject of the transaction. And therefore, yes, it is going to be acquired, but it's not being acquired as the focus of the process. And to bring in a little bit similar to what Shmuel was saying before, I think there's some element of that also, that normally if you're going to buy a book, so the book has to have its own value and its own focus. But here, the Torah is describing this whole process as its own concept. So it has its own set of rules. And it's not necessarily going to be subject to the standard of anything else. But at the end of the process, it's going to be that the woman does take possession of the get in the halachic sense. And it wouldn't necessarily have to follow any other rule or any other standard, because it's a consequence of the parsha of Gittin in the Torah that describes that as being significant and as happening that way. You did you?
So we're going to have Shemesh Kapp, does he say that's, that there is a zechir, there is a transaction going on?
So at the end of the day, she does end up acquiring the get. But it doesn't have to happen in that same way. It doesn't have to happen through the Hilchos Kinyanim that otherwise would have all these obstacles. And we'll see a little bit more about that. So I'll just recap what we said, but what we still have to figure out now, we still have to see, maybe there's more challenges to the Ksos's premise, so we'll see some of those tomorrow. And then practically speaking, again, the question of does she own it? And what about other types of kinyanin? And are there any other implications of vinasan? So that is yet ahead of us. But just to quickly recap what we noted here, so in addition to the recap we started at the beginning, but since that recap, so we saw that the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph seems to tell us that a get does not have to be worth anything in order to fulfill the standard of Nisina, and that Isuri Hana also work. And that's surprising. First of all, it's usher to use Isuri Hana, so it's okay, maybe Mitzvah Lav L'Henes Nina. But it's valueless, according to many. This is machlokis, but many say that it's valueless. So that seems to create a two-tiered problem. Does the husband have to own it in order to give it? You would think so, and it sounds like that from the Rush also. So how does he own something that is valueless? And even if you were okay with that he could own something valueless, but how do you transfer something which is valueless? That seems to be a bigger problem also, which with the comparison to Chametz itself, that Chametz seems to be also valueless because it's also Bahana. And in fact, the Gemara says, you're right, that the Isser of ownership of Chametz, which notably doesn't actually use the word ownership anyway, is a Chiddush HaTorah because of those factors coming together, also showing that point. So we tried to figure out how this could work. And one major approach to answer probably all the questions was the Ksos HaChoshen, who was dealing with the concept of Gita V'chaseh Rabbayim Ke'achad. And he maintained that in other areas of halacha and other transactions that would not work, but this is special to get, because get does not have to actually be transferred in the possession sense. It just has to be given. And it doesn't require a kinyan. And how do I know that? Because Isurei Hana work. And even though so says, yes, I believe Isurei Hana have value, but they don't necessarily have transactionability. So if they really needed to be transferred, that would be a problem. And I would mention Rav Shimon Shkop, who had a different kind of focus, that the point is that when you use a shtar as a kinyan, which is essentially a comparable category to a get, so then the shtar is not the focus. The shtar comes along with the transaction, but the transaction is about something else. And the details of the shtar are less important, and that's the case when it comes to the get as well. Everything clear? Make sense? Okay, so then, God willing, we will pick up with this tomorrow and see where that goes. Do we have a volunteer to say, yeah, I'll be over for us?